1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with President Biden, who's facing new questions over his health, and a doctor who's made multiple trips to the White House over the past year. Correspondent Jared Hill has our top story.
After declining to say why, Dr. Kevin Kennard, a neurologist and Parkinson's specialist, had visited the White House 8 times in 8 months, last night, the president's personal physician sent a memo revealing Kennard had only examined Biden as part of his annual physical, adding the doctor also sees military personnel patients at the White House.
Hurricane Beryl's powered down to a tropical depression now after slamming the Houston area with torrential rain, massive flooding and wind that's decimated homes and property. Haley Laredo's 73-year-old grandmother was crushed to death by a tree that fell on her house.
My son was screaming, Grandma, because he saw me like crying and he started freaking out. He was like, Grandma, he said, call 911.
Beryl's blamed for at least 8 deaths. More than 2.3 million homes and businesses still have no power. An unrelenting heat wave baking the country is suspected in 4 deaths in the Portland area, where the high for today is 104. KXL's John Eric Smith.
The Multnomah County Medical Examiner says 4 people died related to excessive heat over the past weekend. The county says it doesn't know about any possible underlying health issues. Health Officer Dr. Richard Bruno.
They probably would not have expired if they had had a better cooling options.
International condemnation a day after a strike on a children's hospital in Ukraine. CBS's Cammie McCormick.
Rescuers searched through the night for survivors. The UN now says there is a high likelihood the hospital took a direct hit from a Russian missile and called it one of the most egregious attacks since Russia's invasion. The war in Ukraine is tops on the agenda at the NATO summit in Washington, which Moscow says it will be watching closely.
A school district in Chester County, Pennsylvania, says a group of middle school students was posting social media videos claiming to be from teachers. Great Valley District Superintendent Daniel Goffredo.
We learned about the creation of 22 fake TikTok accounts that posted grossly inappropriate and hurtful comments.
He says they included pornographic, racist, and homophobic pictures and text, including the teachers and their families. School officials say they're meeting with local law enforcement on possible action. Shaboozey's just made history.
Someone pour me up a double shot of whiskey.
A bar song's made him the first black male artist to reach number one on Billboard's Hot 100 and country song charts at the same time. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Sapp. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Eau Claire parents are asking the Supreme Court for permission to sue their school district over a gender support policy. The district policy says staff should respect the student's chosen gender and doesn't need to notify parents. Parents say that violates their constitutional rights. The case has already been dismissed twice from lower courts for lack of standing. A lot of farm workers do their jobs outside in extreme heat in the summer. The Biden administration wants to guarantee them mandatory rest breaks, shade, and clean drinking water. Samantha Guerrero is a community organizer who says it's high time.
There are a lot of farm workers who are in danger of losing their lives in these extreme temperatures. And so far, we have seen no urgency to enact or create any protection.
479 American workers died from heat exposure between 2011 and 2022. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
Brewer baseball back home tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers begin a 3-game series against the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight at AmFam Field. The Pirates coming off an 8-2 win over the Mets. Pittsburgh's big O'Neill Cruz with a 2-run homer had to exit the game later with a hamstring injury. NBA free agency continues, and a lot of questions about how the Bucks plan to shape their roster. Bucks GM John Horst.
It's intentional, right? We've got six returning core guys that we know are ready now to compete at a high level and take us where we want to go. We've got three returning young vets that contributed last year and should take another jump this year in Marjan, AJ, and Andre. Chris Livingston had a great first year with us. He's working his ass off, and he's going to be ready to contribute also. And now we've got Tyler and AJ pushing there. And we've got three spots on our roster right now in free agency as soon as we're done with this press conference that we're going to go and figure out the best balance and how they fit the rest of that group.
That's the Bucks general manager, John Horst. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm this afternoon and again tomorrow. Otherwise, pretty nice this week, and we're going to warm it up. Partly cloudy, 82 today, 62 tonight, 82 tomorrow. We're talking highs in the mid to upper 80s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 60.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and co-host of Matt and Air on Air, Greg Bach. And Abby Novak joins me to discuss downtown Appleton's Hyde Music Summer Concert Series.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Wishing you a good morning and welcoming you back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 7:06. Nice to have you along on this Tuesday morning, July 9th, 2024. Coming up this hour, Eric Hovde's interesting views on young workers. It just seems like he has it in for young adults. In newly recorded comments, the Republican multimillionaire tells young workers they need to grow up instead of wanting affordable health care in their 20s. And since he believes they might live to be 120, they should work long past today's retirement age. We'll talk more about that later this hour. If you missed our last hour with Ron Johnson's unusual comments about maybe running for a fourth term and continuing to defend Vladimir Putin, if you missed it, just head over to civicmedia.us. Over at the Civic Media website, you can find all the radio stations around Wisconsin that carry Up North News Radio. You can find the page for Up North News Radio and listen back to each hour as its own separate edition, its own separate episode, its own separate podcast. And you can subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcasts as well. If you'd like to join us throughout this hour or anytime throughout the day, the number here is 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. From Rob in Tigerton, who wishes us a good morning, says it's sunny and 60, had fog earlier, but it's burning off now. He's got mowing jobs in Wittenberg today. The scary thing here, meteorologist Brittany Merlot, is that he remembers Alan O'Day's song, Undercover Angel, as a 10-year-old kid on the radio at milking time at WSBT Radio, because his dad and his uncle listened to it for meteorologist Fred Wagner's weather forecast on the radio. So somehow we got to milking cows, Fred Wagner's forecast, and a really cheesy song from 1977. Who knows, Brittany, what people are going to associate with you many years down the road when they write into a radio station and say, I remember listening to Brittany Merlot and whatever it is.
Fill in the blank, right? To yep. be determined. Oh, yeah. That's so fun. That is good stuff.
Oh, also, by the way, also from Roger on Facebook. Before I go off to work, he said, I had a terrible nightmare overnight. I dreamt that disco music was making a comeback. First, I was afraid. I was petrified.
All right.
Here comes Greg. Here comes Greg Bach, everybody. Off the top rope.
We're going to stop this right now. We are going to open our arms. We're going to allow the beat to come to us. We're going to wrap our arms around that pumping bass line and that wonderful energy that it brings, because disco never died. Disco is always wonderful, and it is the music of the 70s. Take it or leave it.
Many would choose to leave it since we haven't been in the 70s for 40, 50 years. But Roger gets huge credit for First I Was Afraid, I Was Petrified. Brittany, let's leave the 70s. Come back to the 80s, which was a nice place to be yesterday, except for the passing thunderstorm. But again, just gorgeous conditions on either side of it. And we'd love to have that continue throughout the week here.
Oh, I wish we could, but that darn hurricane, right? It is now a remnant of Tropical Depression Beryl is headed our way. So what's going to be happening as we go through our day today is the cloud cover. That's the first thing you're going to notice. Those clouds starting to move into southern Wisconsin, taking over central Wisconsin by later this afternoon. I do think northwest Wisconsin, you'll probably stay on the sunnier side of things. But temperatures today rising to the upper 70s to low 80s. And that's really all we can expect. Now, there are a few chances for pop-up showers and storms. They could be rolling off of Lake Superior later this afternoon and evening. None are expected to be severe, kind of like yesterday. The quick downpour, little gusty winds up to about 40 miles per hour possible, and then it's over. No major rain expected with that. But as that tropical depression slams into Illinois, the heaviest rain is headed towards Chicago. But what's going to happen into the far, far southeast portions of our state is we could see a tight gradient anywhere from about 1 to 2 inches to about a half an inch is possible. So we could see some more localized flooding, or this whole system could miss the southern parts of the state completely. And we'll just get a trace of rain. But either way, that does look like it's pushing in by tonight. Right around 9 o'clock, that rain starts and should linger through tomorrow afternoon before the system pushes out of here. But after that, some nice warm temperatures and that humidity is building. So the further north you live today, the better weather you'll have. Further south, rain's headed your way.
Yeah, I've got one of my daughters lives in southwestern Michigan, and we're watching that plume of rain, you know, 3 to 5 inches just stretching all the way into lower Michigan, which you don't associate with tropical storms very much, but every so often
we get them.
You get it. You get it that way. Let's see. I had another comment. Oh, this was on the text line from Tony in Hayward. Shores and Steel was my hometown radio team. I like that. Shores and Steel on the radio.
Dun, 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 dun.
And he says, obviously, Paul Harvey segments were played frequently. The rest of the story.
Yeah.
I just did not like Paul Harvey segments as a kid. And yet, if you ask me to describe what I would like my radio style to be in this day and age, he said with a Paul Harvey pregnant pause, it would totally be Paul Harvey. It's what I've become, you know, much like I didn't like Neil Diamond songs as a kid because my mom played them all the time. Do I know the words to every Neil Diamond song and we'll sing them? Yeah. Yeah, I do, and I probably will. These are the things you don't know what's going to carry over into your later years, Brittany. Just keep that in mind.
I am taking notes.
Yeah, now wait a minute. You're not. we can reminisce with you as well. Did you have a favorite radio team or radio station or something that when you were younger that you actually kind of emulate now?
Ooh, that is a good question. You know, I don't know.
Because, again, somebody at some point down the road is going to say, oh, yeah, there was this Brittany Merlot. She was on, you know. And so I'm trying to think of who are, like, there's Dylan Dreyer on the Today Show, Ginger Z on Good Morning Ginger America.
Z. I feel like I'm a Jim Cantore, a mini Jim Cantore or a Jim Tom Skilling, one of those
Jim
two.
Jim Cantore.
Oh, Tom Skilling. Oh, yeah. So much respect.
Passionate.
Yep.
So passionate and wild. That's me.
That's you. That's exactly you.
Like, yes.
I don't go around like telling people about you, you know, like you're Brittany Merlot. Right. But like, I've never personally had anyone speak about the weather, especially updates, not the topic, but like even just the updates of what's going on today with so much fun and passion and just the choices, the word choices. So
yeah, I was going to say, when you say wild, she's got the wildest weather vocabulary of anybody I've dealt with.
I'll take that compliment.
There you go.
Thank you, guys.
And this one from Luke Mathers on the text line. I grew up listening to one Jane Matinera, and now I get to work with her. You know, Luke, you're just sucking up now at this point. You need to stop.
Hey, that's the very handsome, the very capable Luke Mathers. Like Disco, like Disco, you respect him at all times.
Thank you, Brittany. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, guys.
Bye, Brittany.
All right. 7:14 now. Coming up tomorrow on the program, our homeroom segment normally talks about education from a school standpoint. We're going to talk about education at the fair, because tomorrow marks the opening of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair right up here in Chippewa Falls. And so we will talk to Rusty Volk, who's been helping run the Northern Wisconsin State Fair for many years now. Up North News reporter Selena Heller will join me as well, and we'll talk about some of the educational aspects of it. There's an education building where students throughout Chippewa County can have their projects and artwork and other things displayed. And then, of course, the educational component of showing animals and just, you know, life in rural Wisconsin when you're bringing something, whether it's livestock or something, you know, a baked good or something to compete in the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. So look for that coming up tomorrow. Let's see. Also on social media for Up North News, you can go to search for Up North News WI. Don't forget the WI, Up North News WI, if you're not already following our Facebook page or TikTok or YouTube or Instagram. And on Facebook right now is a link to an article on our website, which is upnorthnewswi.com. And the article is about no-fault divorce. It's something that we've taken for granted. It's been around for decades now. No-fault divorce laws have contributed to lower rates of domestic violence, particularly against women, of course, because you no longer have the legal back and forth over who's at fault and the conflict that it brings. And yet there are many national conservative leaders who want to reinstate the barriers to divorce by requiring some kind of proof of abuse or infidelity. So you can look for a link to that article and read more about it over at upnorthnewswi.com or on our Facebook page. Also there, you'll see a graphic, several slides of quotes from a group of several organizations across Wisconsin talking all about the constitutional amendments that are going to be on the ballot coming up in this August 13th primary election. Both constitutional amendments basically are power grabs by Republicans in the legislature who want to make it easier to take federal aid that comes to Wisconsin and sit on it, as Potsy would say in Happy Days. That right now, you know, the American Rescue Plan aid, the authority was given to the governor, Tony Evers in this case, to make investments as he saw fit. And the legislature said, well, we'd like to get in on that action or lack of action given the way that they've handled things with the state budget. So in a joint statement, these organizations from around Wisconsin are urging voters to reject the two constitutional amendments, writing, quote, not only are these two statewide ballot questions intentionally confusing, but they will create real harm. The constitutional amendments would impact the process for distributing federal money by adding unnecessary red tape and slowing funds to those in urgent need. Now, if you'd like some more information about the August 13th election, which, yes, typically is a primary election, and there are some primary races out there, but not everywhere. But you can vote everywhere because of these constitutional amendments that are on the ballot, and you should vote. So for more information about the August 13th election, head over to myvote.wi.gov. Again, myvote.wi.gov, and find out more about whether you're registered, how to register, where to vote, and what else is on your ballot. The Milwaukee Brewers were idle yesterday, heading back home. This is their final homestand before the All-Star break. Three games against the Pittsburgh Pirates, followed by three games against the Washington Nationals. The Pirate series opens up at 7:05 this evening. You can catch the pregame starting at 6:35 on Civic Media stations WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WISS in Oshkosh. When we come back, we'll unpack some more of the news. We will talk about some of the lies, frankly, that are being spread by at least one local Republican Party, and an Amtrak route that turned a profit in 11 days. That's on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on Air.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You may have heard the word derecho as a part of the weather lately, but what do you know about it? Derecho is a Spanish word meaning direct or straight ahead. It's why you may hear straight line winds blamed for damage from a derecho. A downburst, which is an area of strong, damaging winds, causes a derecho, and the Weather Service does not issue warnings for these. They're just standard severe thunderstorm warnings. So this means you'll want to be weather ready during any severe storm. If you're outside, camping, hiking, boating, find a shelter. Otherwise, lie flat, face down, on low ground. Most derechos happen in July, and Wisconsin typically has one or two per year. But experts say climate change will only help increase these numbers. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
This is Mark Allman, lead vocalist for Soft Cell.
Oh, yeah.
He's 67 years old today, part of today's history lesson that you can hear every morning at about 6:50 here on Up North News Radio. In entertainment news, Mr. Greg Bach, there is a retirement that has been announced. And I understand the retirement. I'm just amazed that he's still doing what he's doing. The he, in this case, being John Cena, who announced Saturday night he will retire from professional, quote-unquote, wrestling next year after two decades in the ring. The wrestler-turned-actor delivered a heartfelt speech to a stadium of WWE fans in Toronto who booed in disappointment as Cena said the 2025 season would be his last. He promised a farewell tour with dozens of dates and an epic final fight. Fight in question marks or quotation marks. And he assured fans he would remain involved with the wrestling franchise that launched his career. None of this is the surprising part of this. The surprising part of this is that he's still doing this. He's 47 years old. I feel so broken and battered and tired just reading that part, that he is 47 and still doing what he does. I didn't know he was still doing the wrestling thing. I thought he had, you know, just moved completely into acting. No. Although I guess the two are kind of related, aren't they?
Yeah. They, I mean, there is to a certain extent. And I always can pick up the sprinkles of disrespect you throw at wrestling. And
I didn't say disrespect.
You question mark
wrestling's in quotation marks. You know, if I'll watch wrestling during the Paris Olympics, you know, I'll watch.
Right there. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. But he's what they call a part timer, very part timer, because he's, you know, him and the Rock are very, very, you know, but the Rock's back in WWE because he had a couple movies fail. But the thing is, I really hope that John Cena actually retires, because this happens a lot in wrestling, especially at that level. These superstars say, I'm done, and then they go away, and they get these huge matches that like leave people crying, and there's emotion because, you know, we grew up watching these guys, and they're very influential. And then 6 months, a year later, they'll either come back or they'll go to a different promotion and do something else. Oh, no, you are back. Okay, fine. And then they're a little older. They're a little more battered and broken. It's not as exciting. And then they go away again. Then they come back. And so I hope Cena does hang up the boots. And I hope he comes back as like a different figure in the WWE, because he's fantastic. He's just fantastic.
He is. I think he's a wonderful person, a wonderful actor. And look, it's the oldest line in showbiz, is leave them wanting more. Mm-hmm. And the only person I know off the top of my head who truly did that was Johnny Carson. When he left, he made one appearance on David Letterman.
Yeah.
Just to say, I'm still alive. And that's about it. But almost everybody can't turn down the chance to come back and, you know, engage in wrestling. Tony and Hayward writes on the text line, Greg with a chair to the head of Pat over the disrespect. If we'd have set this up properly, we'd have had you throw a chair through your camera frame and have a chair come into my camera frame, which would have been awesome.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I mean, this is a very weird reference, but it does work in this situation. So I'm a metalhead. I love metal music. I've loved metal music since I was a little kid. The band Slayer, everyone knows it. If you don't know, you know the band Slayer. And they did a huge retirement series, like a huge retirement tour. And less than 2 years later, like, we're back. Motley Crue did the same thing. We're going away. Kiss did the same thing. These bands, it's like, you guys are millionaires. You'll never need money again. The adulation can't be that much of a drug.
Right. I mean, because, again, we are such a cynical society already, and I think part of it is you feed into it every time you say farewell, and then people look at it and go, oh, so the farewell was actually just another marketing gig.
Yeah.
You know?
And there is a story, and I don't know if it's apocryphal, but I'm pretty sure it's true. Barbara Streisand did a farewell concert in Las Vegas, and people were paying upwards of $1 million for those tickets. Of course, second or third market. And she came back, and people sued her because they said, you retired, and I paid this money. And the courts were like, yeah, sorry.
That's not how this works. Yeah. No. So keep that in mind as we mentioned that this is our farewell episode of Up North News Radio today. Until tomorrow with the big comeback. So I hope you consider yourself properly teased. All this forget.
You're retiring, and we're going to do 250,000 more shows. And then we'll...
Wait, I've got to go up to the top because I do keep track of these. This is show number 373 of Up North News Radio. So, you know, if we retire now, but then we do 372 more after this, I mean, technically, I guess it's still a retirement in the parlance of this day and age,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Meanwhile, there's some poor folks out there going, I have listened to this 373 times. Are you kidding me?
To which I respond, you can turn it off.
To which I say, you're welcome. Yeah. Here we are. Turning to some of the other news here. Do you remember we talked about that new Amtrak route, the Borealis?
Yeah.
That it would provide basically, you know, it would be like a day trip, you know, across Wisconsin from Milwaukee to the Twin Cities and vice versa. And it has been such a hit that for everybody loves to treat Amtrak and trains like some kind of a punching bag. You know, Scott Walker made a good living out of it as well.
Yeah.
But it worked so well, the new Borealis, that it turned a profit in 11 days.
Are you serious?
Because so many people wanted to, it was because the Empire Builder, which went through, you know, already, but it went through at like very awkward hours. And this one is much more, shall we say, passenger friendly if you're not, you know, riding all the way to Seattle, essentially. And so the finances are there with a good business model, with a good route, with good customer service, etc. You know, it's going to make money. The St. Paul to Chicago route brought in $600,000 in operating revenue during May, while only costing $500,000 in operating expenses, a $100,000 operating profit, despite being open for less than 2 weeks. It served 6,600 passengers in the short time that it had been operational, and it's only going to improve after that. There is absolutely a market for rail in Wisconsin and in this country, but you had far too many politicians who were essentially either in the back pockets of oil companies or just simply naysayers to everything, who have, you know, really only made our transportation problems worse by standing in the way of progress.
Yeah.
And that's got to change in the state.
Yep. Had Scott Walker not gotten his way, we'd be 10, 12 years into quality high-speed rail in this state.
Mm-hmm. And we would have been showing the way for much of the rest of the country, which continues to this day. People go to Europe and they travel out there and they go, how come we don't have this here? It's like, well, there's this whole political system, et cetera, et cetera. It's going to happen. You know, it's just that now with each year that you wait, it's going to cost more money and you're going to have more people going, why didn't we do this sooner? And it is the progress that is coming to Wisconsin, and this latest route simply proves it. When we come back, we'll talk about Senate candidate Eric Hovde and his unique views on young workers and why he's telling them to grow up, especially since he thinks they're going to grow really old. That's next on Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Kreitler. But I'm sorry I
don't pray. Locally grown radio, WFHR. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Red eyes, runny nose, just all-around discomfort? Sound familiar? I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Tuesday. Well, you probably have summertime allergies, and this year the pollen count has been pretty high. That's according to Ken Mendez, who's the president and CEO of the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America. Now, whether you work on a farm or not, pollen is everywhere, and he's got some suggestions on how you can manage through it.
The other thing to do is avoid going outside during high release times. So keep your windows closed. And if you have to go out during high release pollen times, then when you come back indoors, make sure you leave your shoes, your coat, wipe your pet down if you're taking your pet out for a walk so you don't track the pollen inside your home. You spend 90% of your time indoors, so making sure that you don't track the pollen from outdoors to the indoors.
Just a couple tips for allergy sufferers or those you may live with that suffer with allergies. That's Ken Mendez. He's the president and CEO of the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America. You can track pollen release through your local weather station or online.
Introducing Certain Herbicide, the latest corn innovation from BASF. It brings powerful PPO residual chemistry into a pre-through early post application thanks to novel solid encapsulation technology. Apply from pre-plant to V3 and get up to 8 weeks of residual control or suppression of 79 broadleaf and grass weed species. Don't chase weeds all through the season. Attack them before they emerge with Certain Herbicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Water hemp, Palmer amaranth, and giant ragweed. Left undisturbed, they will become the most dangerous foes to corn plants. But in the early season, these weeds are at their weakest. Now is the time. A predator lurks. Certain herbicide attacks, unleashing full residual power before weeds have a chance to emerge. Pre or early post application, they are hopeless against such effective chemistry. Certain herbicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
And it does look like Wisconsin farmers are feeling a little more confident about the crops they're growing these days. As of Sunday, according to the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service, 62% of our corn was rated good to excellent. That's up one percentage point compared to last week. 60% of our soybeans rated good to excellent. That's a 3 percentage point increase in confidence in 1 week's time. Potato condition, 90% of that crop good to excellent, up 2 percentage points from just last week. Our pastures, 69% good to excellent. Now that number's down 2% in a week. More food news anytime you need it. Come on over to MidwestFarmReport.com and sign up for our daily e-newsletter. There's your Tuesday update. I'm PM Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm this afternoon and again tomorrow. Otherwise, pretty nice this week, and we're going to warm it up. Partly cloudy, 82 today, 62 tonight, 82 tomorrow. We're talking highs in the mid to upper 80s by the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
The big winners are in for the Scotty Summer Contest.
Exciting. Let's listen to the calls.
Hi, who's this?
It's Tori.
You're one of our grand prize winners.
All right, man. Great to hear this morning.
We got some good news for you.
Okay.
You are one of our grand prize winners.
Really?
Yes.
Awesome. Winning is fun. Just ask Tammy from Baraboo and Tori from Kewaunee.
Thank you. That's great.
Listen for future chances to text and win on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us
I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we're live from Wisconsin Dells on our What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour. Will Todd be on a duck boat? Find out.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Welcome back to Up North News Radio on the 7:34. Look, it's a tale as old as time, is people looking back on younger workers and after years of saying, hey, they were going to be new and different, and then they turned out just to be the same old, which, you know, you find in that song there by The Who, or as you find out in Ron Johnson, who said he was going to be, you know, not a career politician, but as we discussed in the last hour, is making all the noise about wanting to be a career politician. And big credit to Greg, who heard Ron Johnson's comments the last hour. You put both fists on your forehead, if memory serves, yeah, and then lowered your head a bit. And then you leaned into the microphone, and then you kind of gave the international sign of nope, nope. If I start, I don't know where this is going to stop.
Yeah, yeah. I have a whole sack of words I could say about Ron Johnson.
A whole sack of them, you say?
A whole sack of them.
Very nice. All right. Okay, well then, so we'll get to Eric Hovde's view on young workers. Again, Eric Hovde wants a young worker himself, of course, inheriting his, you know, grandfather's company, but, you know, that's another matter. Before we get to that, a reminder that Civic Media will broadcast special event coverage each and every night of the Republican National Convention next week. During the 7 p.m. hour, Terry Bell will be live on location, Civic Media's news director, as will Todd Albaugh of the conveniently named Todd Albaugh Show, broadcasting live from the convention during his show from noon to 2. So be tuning into that next week. All right, professional rake stepper Eric Hovde is back in the news, this time with some comments that we're going to play for you on his views on young workers, and something that explains why, of all the things he could go after, you could go after the tax cuts for the rich that blew a multi-trillion dollar hole in the deficit, but yet he wants to go after Medicare and Social Security and things like that. Why could that be? Well, part of it, apparently, according to some new audio discovered from Eric Hovde, is that he believes that, quote, crazy technology is going to help young people live to over 100 much more frequently. And so, therefore, you have to somehow limit Social Security benefits so that they last longer. I don't know. Give a listen.
I'm also worried about Medicare and having that around for my layabout grandson.
if we don't get serious about dealing with the deficit spending, yeah, everything will go bankrupt. That's the problem.
What do you think we can do? I mean, I like what Paul Ryan was talking about, privatizing, right?
Well,
first
of all, what you have to do is they've increased spending, you know, during the lockdowns, they increased spending by 40% because they shut down the economy. But our population didn't grow by 40%, so after we unleashed the lockdowns at the beginning of 21, don't you think we would have brought spending back by 40%? Our population would grow 40%. So then we got to do that. Then we got to put a glide path to reduce spending. Then we got to figure out how to create better growth. How about deregulating the economy? Remember Ronald Reagan?
Right.
One of his big pushes to get the economy growing was deregulation. You talk to every business person, you talk to every farmer, they all say we're being killed by regulation.
Right.
So you got to do that.
And then we've got to do, I was talking with the other lady, welfare reform. Remember when Clinton and Newt Gingrich did welfare reform?
Right, right.
And we pulled all those people that weren't working back into the workforce
right,
and started
right.
giving them money. They're all of a sudden working and paying taxes.
Right.
We've got to do that. We've got to do a whole lot of
yeah,
things.
Yeah, right. And you think that can preserve Medicare and Social Security for
if
the future?
If we can get our finances in place, yeah.
Okay.
Now, honestly, Social Security, somebody like me who's done well may have to forego it so everybody else.
Right.
And maybe if you're 30 or 40 years old, they add a year to because they're going to live
raise
long.
The retirement age.
Yeah, yeah, by a year. But for people that are 50 and above, no, you don't touch the retirement
right.
age. But if you're younger, okay, you're going to live longer anyways.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, they're talking about crazy things that some of these young people could live to 100, 120 with all the new technologies
wow.
that are coming.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
all right, there's a lot to unpack in that one. So where do we go? Greg again has his head down, but let's start with, well, let's just take this in order. The whole notion of getting deficit spending under control, again, maybe we could start with, you know, all the billionaire tax breaks that were put out there. And yet it never is about that, is it? It's about going after seniors' retirement. It's going after health care. It's going after, quote unquote, welfare reform. Trust me, there is nobody right now getting anything resembling a welfare check that is doing as much damage to your future in terms of the deficit than what Eric Hovde and everybody from his income level and up is getting by being able to escape paying the fair share of taxes that you have to pay. But he also talks in there about how they shut down the economy during COVID. This one, again, just I have a special dose of rage for anybody that likes to poo-poo the pandemic and say, you know, they shut down the economy. I mean, great teamwork, everybody. We were supposed to all be in this together. We were all supposed to stay home. We were going to spend extra to make sure that we saved lives. People stayed at home until we could get things under control. There was no vaccine. We would get people back to work. The economy would grow. All of these things happened, though, in a much more fractured environment. And as a result of the way that things worked out, the U.S. economy is the envy of the world right now. You can use empty words like Donald Trump and Eric Hovde do about, you know, there being chaos and everything else. Every other developed country would love to be the United States in terms of where we are with inflation and employment. Doesn't mean it's done. Doesn't mean it's perfect. But don't pretend that there's any place that's any better than the United States right now for coming out of a global pandemic. It wasn't they that shut down the economy. It was a pandemic. Always the deregulation. Greg, were you able at any point in there to tell what exactly was going to be deregulated? I mean, he name-dropped farmers, but I didn't clearly hear anything to deregulate that was going to magically turn the economy around. Did you catch anything there?
Not a thing. I was waiting for a specific... I mean, when it comes to Hovde, besides his antics and terrible ads, I'm always on watch for Eric Hovde's specific plans. And there's never one. Deregulation. We have to deregulate. What?
Yeah.
And they've done a lot of deregulating in the past 40 years since Reagan, your shining bright, who would probably be too liberal at this point for your taste.
Oh, yeah.
But what, Eric? What are we deregulating? And ever since I started working for this company, when politicians, especially on the right, and I'm sorry to say this, it's true, when they start speaking about farmers, I'm like, keep their names out of your mouth. You don't help them. You don't care about them. Don't talk about farmers.
So he gets back to the young workers saying that with crazy technology, they could live to 100, 120. Okay. Is that a reason to raise the retirement age, at which Hovde is already on record saying that for workers in their 20s, he would raise the retirement age into the 70s, into their 70s and then some. Mm-hmm. And trust me, as somebody who just turned 60, that's not what anybody wants right now. You want the option to keep doing what you're doing, but you don't want to have to. And the whole notion of setting up Social Security and Medicare was that after giving a lifetime of service in the labor force, you could enjoy a comfortable retirement. which is not something that Eric Hovde wants. But back to when you were a young worker, he's all about, well, you know, the Affordable Care Act lets you young workers continue to have affordable health insurance by staying on your parents' plan. In Eric Hovde's mind, that's just wrong, and, you know, you need to grow up.
I love
your concern about health care, and I was really wondering about Obamacare, and I know President Trump wants to repeal it, so, you know, let's hope he gets to do that, but I'm really concerned especially about that provision for that kids can stay on until they're 26. I don't think it's doing our young people much good. I mean, it just makes them lazy.
It's a stupid idea for this reason. All we're doing is delaying younger people's maturation.
Right.
And they need to grow up and move on and stand on their own 2 feet. And by the way, your lowest health care costs are when you're 21 to 26.
Right.
Frankly, what we should have is personalized health care that you buy when you're young that stays with you your whole life instead of having some business and then you leave that business and it transfers here. It should be your health care policy that travels with you through your life.
Based on your health.
Based on your health and a lot of other factors.
Because my grandson, I mean, he's a great guy, but I think it's just like not getting him off the couch to, he's still staying at home, and I think it's not motivating, and I think it's happening to a lot of people, don't you think?
I think we have never had such a large percentage of working age Americans that are sitting on the couch and not involved.
And still living with their parents.
And still living with their parents.
Yeah.
It's sad.
No. No. We are at a historically high level of employment. We have never had in all the time that this has been measured such a low unemployment rate and such a high level of employment in the state. But again, much like his role model, Connecticut businessman Tim Michaels, a couple of years back, he's feeling like if we just call young people lazy and couch surfers and that they should stand on their own 2 feet and afford their own health care, that, you know, that will make something out of them and that will somehow appeal to the voters. But he doesn't get to the root cause of this. One of the root causes of high healthcare costs is that people in their 20s feel that they're young and bulletproof. And so they don't get health insurance. And so they're not paying premiums in, which raises costs for everybody else. And then when young people do get sick, because they do get sick, and they do get into car accidents, their illnesses, injuries, layoffs, and now they don't have insurance. And to this day, again, one of the things that just gets to me. To this day, you go into a convenience store or a bar or other places with some kind of a community bulletin board, and you still see that we have to have roasted chicken dinners to help somebody pay their medical bills because we haven't done enough to make healthcare more accessible and affordable to people. And Eric Hovde is saying, let's make it less accessible, less affordable. He says, let's get personalized plans that people can take with them from job to job, from place to place. Great idea in theory, Eric Hovde. What is your plan to do it? What is your plan to make it affordable and accessible and not a junk plan? Because that's what the Affordable Care Act does. And if you don't have a better idea than that, then you're just throwing empty words out there, trying to appeal to a group that says harumph about all the young workers, and get into the Senate where you say you're not going to be a career politician, but take a look at what your buddy Ron Johnson just did. Sorry, I still have a thing when I see the health benefit things on bulletin boards. We so shouldn't need that by now.
I completely agree with you, and the notion of, well, my grandson is on the couch because of he can't get his own health insurance, like, I just hate listening to older people jam on the younger generations because it's just not fair. They don't know what kids are going through. You want to be a 22-year-old right now? Go ahead. I dare you. In this world where retirement is not a thing they look forward to. That's not a thing. They're not going to get the gold watch. They're not going to go traveling. They're going to have to work until they're 70 because this economy is not set up for them to succeed.
Right. It's not. And so anything that we can do to make these problems better would be a much better option than simply vilifying young workers. From Matt in Germantown was at one of these benefits recently at a bar where they had a raffle for an assault rifle and a handgun.
Oh, my God.
And that just brings us full circle to one of the biggest things that drives up healthcare costs for young people. It's not illness. It's not injury. It's not a car accident. It's the guns. But let's raffle them off at a medical fundraiser for somebody. This would be a good place to pause and say that we're going to talk to Chad Holmes after we take a deep breath or two here on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Weight isn't just a number. It's a ticking bomb that will one day ruin your health, if it hasn't already. Sick and tired of fad diets that don't work? Wausau Weight Loss offers you the real deal, a natural, effective path to weight loss without the hassle of counting calories or endless gym hours. With our proven program, clients are shedding up to a pound a day. Real people, real results. Hear their stories. Witness the transformation.
Hi, I'm Ivor from Marshfield. I lost 130 pounds and over 60 inches. I've got so much more energy than I ever had before, and I also have the confidence to pursue cycling and kayaking and keeping up with my grandkids.
Wausau Weight Loss offers a groundbreaking approach with no gimmicks or temporary fixes. Just sustainable, healthy weight loss. Don't wait. Diffuse that ticking health bomb with Wausau Weight Loss and lose as much as 30 pounds in a month. Visit WausauWeightLoss.com or call now for your free, no-obligation consultation at 715-502-4748. 715-502-4748. That's 715-502-4748.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
All right, before Chad Holmes joins us, our daily history lesson is usually at 6:50, but here at 7:50, we don't want to forget that there was one more bit of history on this day coming from Greg Bach's general direction, or at least his familial direction.
Yeah, exactly. This day in history, July 9th, 1972, a beautiful bouncing baby girl named Amy Rose Bach was born, and that is my older sister. She is turning an age today. And I
an age. You gave her birth year.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Hey, Pat, when was this country ever good at math? So, she turns 52 today, and I want to wish her a happy birthday, and I love her. I hope you have a wonderful day, Amy.
Yeah, you've really made her day now with, you know, spreading that joy and her age. Mr. Holmes, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Pat.
Okay. Look, you got a haircut.
You're
wearing a nice professionally dressed shirt. So clearly you didn't lose your shirt in that World Series of Poker run that you had some time back.
Time to be professional. I tell you, after all these years, I decided it's time to finally be professional.
Why would you want to do that?
I suppose.
We had that talk about suits and ties and things recently. And again, it reminded me that, I mean, as a TV anchor and as a state legislator, I mean, for the longest time, I had all these suits, all these ties, and now I just see them there. And I don't even, well, most of them have long since gone to Goodwill or other places. And I just don't know in a lot of these careers that, you know, I just think there's always going to be a role for, you know, dressing well. But as far as, you know, a full-on suit every day, I don't know that that's going to expand. I think you're going to see more and more jobs that people used to wear them, and then they don't anymore. And you're as well-dressed as anybody at Civic Media is going to be today. And that's actually a compliment, despite the way that it came out.
you know, something that I actually, you know, you're exactly right in terms of many, many different professions. Something I've noticed over the years, there was a story of a number of years back that you know, if you look at the old NFL films and Vince Lombardi and Tom Landry, they were always wearing suits or overcoats.
Or the crowds. When you look at the crowds behind in a baseball game or a football game, and all the guys are in suits.
But not only do the coaches in football not wear suits anymore, they are not allowed to wear suits by the National Football League.
Yep.
They have this big deal with all their apparel with the logo on it.
Oh, gosh.
That literally they are not allowed to wear non-NFL approved pullovers and stuff like that.
Who was the NFL coach? Was it Parcells who happily paid the fine every week to wear a dirty sweatshirt every week?
It was actually Mike Nolan.
Mike Nolan, okay,
coach of the 49ers for a short time. Did not win much, but he always looked good.
Whenever they do those throwback games and they're wearing their old uniforms, I always think, like, let them, for that 1 week, let the coaches, if they want, wear the suits. Look like the old, like, look like Vince Lombardi for one game.
Oh, they can't because people will love it. People will say, bring that back, and then they'll lose the apparel deals. I agree. I'd love to see it. But boy,
the idea that these professional sports teams would have a rule like that.
Yeah.
You know, that going back to what you guys were talking about just a few minutes ago, you know, we talk about regulation. I mean, that's another word for rules, and they just don't like rules. But there's one regulation I would throw out is not allowing NFL coaches.
And with that, Chad is now voting for Eric Hovde. So, all right.
There you go. Oh, God.
Eric Hovde can have that kind of regulation.
I don't see that. I don't see that happening. And it's funny how baseball is the only one where the manager and the coaches, you know, they have to be in the exact same uniform as the players. Imagine basketball coaches if they're in, you know, short shorts and tank tops or, you know, whatever their players were wearing. Just not going to be the same. Hey, but before I forget, because I did mention this earlier and we didn't get to it, but since I see it in the Wausau Daily Herald, I'll simply pass the baton to you. From PolitiFact, Wisconsin, Juneau County Republicans falsely claim plane fulls of refugees are arriving in Wisconsin. Now, again, this sounds painfully obvious because it is, but I am glad that the Journal Sentinel and the Wausau Daily Herald and others are carrying this and calling out groups like the Republican Party of Juneau County, who put things up like, you know, ask Governor Evers why plane fulls of unvetted refugees are being accepted at the Milwaukee and Madison airports. Not true. Just thought I'd throw that in quickly before the end of the show.
Well,
not true.
Are we sure that didn't come directly from Tom Tiffany? Because that seems to be right down his alley.
It's not going to stop him from continuing to say it. I can promise you that much.
I know. And it's like, there is so much misinformation. I mean, we live in this era where there's so much information, but so much of it is misinformation. And it's like you're constantly fighting that. Mm-hmm. I mean, why can't we? I want to go back to a simpler time where it was just plain old battle of ideas. And whoever had the better ideas would be able to. But now it's like you have to fight the misinformation of these guys. And it just really, really gets old so quickly. Thanks for bringing up that story. That's the
right here. Let me since we want to encourage you. So the text line here. Let me take a moment to salute. Let's see. It's Tim in Chicago, who says those who can't learn from the mistakes of the past are doomed to repeat them. As Norman Goodman said, we don't need perfection. A vote for Biden is a vote for a president. A vote for Trump is a vote for a king. The other thing you should consider is why are the results of the debate completely different from between the people who watch the debate and those who listen to it? And he goes on from there, but I want to thank him very much for putting that in because I appreciate the listener feedback on it.
Can I make a quick point before we run out of time?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that kind of reminded me of something. Over the weekend, I'm sure you saw the results in France.
Yes.
And I'm going to no personal affront intended, but the deification of people like Charles Franklin, they were completely wrong on that.
Yeah.
And the whole George Stephanopoulos interview with the president, where he basically asked two questions over half an hour. One is, why have you lost your mind? And number two, you're so far behind, why don't you get out? Well, and Biden kept saying, well, those numbers I don't agree with. And there's this thought that they are always right. They're not always right. Everybody had assumed Le Pen was going to be the next leader of France. And then she ended up, you know, breaking down because she had defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yeah, but, well, yeah, because people again,
we live
came
in
together.
An era of complete poll-driven discussion, and I'm tired of that.
So enough of what the pundits and the pollsters have to say.
Viva France.
There you go. Chad Holmes is coming up next on Bull Falls Radio, and you can catch it through the Civic Media app. Thank you, sir. Mr. Bach, will catch you on Matt and Air on Air in a couple of hours. Up North News is the Wisconsin digital outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Up North.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, Joe Biden's top 100 rolls into days 25 and 26. We're talking infrastructure and transportation. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
WFHR invites you to join David Farmbrough of Caldwell Banker Seward Realtors and tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. The next show is coming up and we'll be talking about topics that matter to you, whether you're a buyer or a seller. So if you're looking forward to welcoming David Farmbrough to the show and taking your questions, be sure to tune in every second Tuesday of the month right here on your locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
More news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.